How has the Birmingham Police Department changed, you think, since your days living in Birmingham years ago, growing up here?
Well, you know, as a citizen here and as a kid growing up and deciding to be a police officer, I've been a fan of the police department. And there was a time when the Birmingham Police Department was really the pinnacle. Everyone talked about BPD. And for whatever reason, through the years, we lost that. And now I tell the officers we need to regain the glory days where other departments come to us to find out how we're doing things. They want copies of our policies and all of that. Our department today is a much more aggressive department. When it comes to crime in Birmingham, I've often said through the years, the two biggest issues facing our city is crime and schools. And so I can do something about the crime issue with the citizen support. And we have a lot of citizen support in us right now. So we're a much more aggressive police department. Of course, we're making many more arrests during this time period, trying to make the streets safer. And it's a long-term process. I didn't expect overnight success, but I think we're on our way.
Birmingham consistently ranks as one of the most dangerous cities in the nation, which I'm sure you hear over and over and over again. We know the department has, over the years, focused on a number of different initiatives to bring violent crime down, but yet this latest FBI report shows that it's just not working, or it hasn't worked anyway. Can there be any shaking up of this rut? What's working in other cities, such as New York, which seems to have cleaned up its act a bit?
Well, there's a couple of things that New York has done to be successful. One is they hired a big group of additional officers. And
they probably are working with more money than you have.
Well, they are. They, you know, New York is an international city, so their resource level is a little different. But they're protecting many more persons, a much larger population, but they have a lot of officers to do that. And then secondly, they invested a lot of money in technology, their real-time crime center and everything else that they're doing. And they've been working at it for many, many years. And Birmingham, through the years, I'm not sure we've had the focused, committed effort to really address this crime situation. And so that's what I bring to the table.
Is that a criticism of your predecessors? Or?
No, I've never criticized her and her administration because times are different. And I believe a police chief can only do as much as a mayor would allow them to do. And so whatever was occurring there, it's a new season today. And when Mayor Lankford recruited me for this job, he gave me carte blanche to do what I need to do to be successful. And his words to me were, I'm not a micromanager, you're the chief. And he's been true to that statement. And so we're doing everything we can to make the city safer. We haven't gained a lot of personnel resources, but we've really upped the ante in the department. We've made some personnel moves, some leadership moves. The challenge is getting the vision and the values pushed through the organization the way that we want to do business, which means we can aggressively attack crime and still treat people right. You know, we don't have to have a trade-off. And so we're doing that today. And I think you're going to see the tide turning.
You mentioned schools as an issue, obviously. But schools and crime, aren't they interlinked in some way?
Absolutely. Our success is linked to the success of the Birmingham school system. There's no doubt about it. And there are studies to show that when you're more educated, you're not likely to be out here committing street crimes. And I need the schools to be successful. So we want to strengthen our partnership with them. We've had a couple of meetings already. I've met with Dr. Mim several times, but of course he's no longer there now. So we'll start over with the interim superintendent and whoever replaces her next year.
Is that part of the problem, do you think?
I think it is. For any organization to have long-term success, you've got to have time to establish a foundation for success. And it appears that we're changing superintendents probably every 2 to 3 years. And that becomes a problem as we're losing students, consolidating schools, and there's a new plan on the table. Then another 2 to 3 years, there's a different plan on the table. And it causes a lot of turbulence in the organization. What has helped us, Chief Nunn was chief almost 5 years. So now I need to build on her successes and also the areas she couldn't address, really put my stamp on that. And I plan on being chief at least 4 to 5 years. And so then the next chief comes in and builds on my success. And that's how you really be a long-term success. And we really need our school system to do more, do better, in concert with what we're trying to accomplish. And if we can do both and combine forces, where we provide better education and this department provides better police services, we can really turn the city around.
I want to talk a little bit about the department that you inherited. You were very vocal about your faith. Your predecessor, Chief Nunn, was criticized for using faith as a tool for fighting crime in addition to other things that she was trying to do. Some say crime isn't just good versus evil, though, that it's psychological or economical. How do you jibe religion and crime fighting?
Well, for me, it's very easy because I believe I'm where I am because of God's plan for my life. But yet I never try to force my beliefs on others. And so that's the great thing about this country. You have the freedom to choose. But for me, when I read Romans 13, it clearly talks about the government and police officers and how we're ordained by God to go after the evildoers, and those who are doing right have nothing to fear. And so for me, I don't have to change when I put the uniform on. It gives me a greater commitment to do what I think we need to do to be successful. I believe in the power of prayer, but I also know the Bible says prayer without works is dead. And so even while we're praying, we've got to get out here and put our hands to the job. And so no doubt about it, we have officers running to and fro today trying to make this city safer.
But isn't it deeper than just good versus evil? Isn't that sort of oversimplifying the problem?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons for crime. And I've often said that we can't arrest our way out of this situation. Because the people we arrest, they're going to get back on the streets, and if their heart hasn't changed, they're going to continue to do the things that they're doing, and we'll continue to arrest them, and that's the vicious cycle. But here, you know, crime has many different causes. Yes, the biggest cause is an individual choice to commit the crime, but yet there's an economic part of it. There's a social and a family part. The church has some responsibility in it, the faith community. The business community has some parts in it, and I'm trying to mobilize each of those segments of society to assist us. I need the faith community to get out of the walls and go out and try to help these families and help those convicts who are returning from prisons, because if we don't help them, they're going to fall back into the same old ways. More economic opportunities for people. So there's a lot that goes into it, but what I've told our leadership is I can't count on others to do their part, but I can count on this police department because I'm the chief here. So we're going to do our part whether we have other parties at the table or not.
Getting back to those rankings, Birmingham among the Washington, D.C.'s and Gary, Indiana's as far as violent crime goes, typically among the 10 worst in violent crimes. A dwindling population base in Birmingham. Where does Birmingham rank in, say, 5 or 10 years?
I believe we'll be a much safer city than we are today, because I believe we're a safer city now than we were last year. Last year, violent crime rose almost 5%. Today, it's down 3%. So even though we have the challenges.
Where did that number come from?
Those are our stats. We track our stats, I almost said religiously. Mm-hmm. But each month, I have a crime briefing with the top leadership of the department, the leaders of the different units. And I don't want to know what we're going to do. I want to know what we're doing. And it can be vicious at times during those meetings because it's all about results. So last year, when we look at our numbers and what the FBI reported, even the FBI reports, which theirs are a little different. Sometimes they show us being at times better than what we are, because of the way they track certain crimes. But even their numbers showed a 4.6% increase in violent crime. And right now we're down 3%. So that's almost an 8% swing already. The challenge is to continue the momentum during the summer, because more kids are out of school. There's more freedom to commit crimes and those type things.
So it's hot.
It's hot. People get miserable. If you don't have good conflict resolution skills, someone step on your shoe and you turn around and hit them and all that type of stuff, and we have to deal with it in so many of our communities. But I believe in 5 to 10 years, we'll look back at 2008 as the year that the pendulum swung.
I want to touch back on the religious thing for just a moment. Can you pray your way out of this crime problem, do you think?
I think prayer has a major part in it. But we can't just pray our way out of it.
Was there too much of that, do you think? in other administrations, or maybe even in other mayoral administrations? Or
I really can't say that there was too much of it, because if it was, it wasn't successful. I think it goes hand in hand. I think when a person changes their personal life and their beliefs, and whether they're following the Bible or whatever the case might be, if they obey it, then it clearly talks about not killing and stealing and all that. And if that's what it takes, or if they're in a 12-step program and they believe in a higher power and they're going to obey those rules, and they're rules that are conducive to our laws, then we're in good shape there.
And some would criticize, saying, though, that it's not just the Bible that tells you that good things are possible, that there are, I mean, people can be completely atheist and still be good people.
Yes, no doubt about that. I just believe it goes hand in hand. I pray for the city every day. I pray for our officers that they be protected. And I tell them all the time, stay safe out here. If we don't catch the bad guy today, we'll catch him tomorrow. But you're the only husband your wife has. You're the only father your kids have. So stay safe. That's the most important thing.
What about parents?
Oh, parents are so vitally important. And as a society, we're failing in that area. So many people expect the police department to raise their children, and we can't do that. And so the unfortunate reality is some parents don't get involved in their kids' lives until the kids are arrested, and we need them to be involved on the front end. So a lot of things that we're doing, people don't know about. They think that I'm just trying to arrest our way out of this problem, but they didn't see me 2 weeks ago talking to 150 kids about making good choices and you can be any person you want to be. And they're not following me around when I'm out here talking to neighborhood groups and going to schools and speaking to these community groups and these kids, trying to deter them from the system. Because once you get involved in the system, it's tough to get out of it.
You come from Hoover, where you were highly regarded, and the spotlight wasn't shone quite so bright there on you as it is now that you're in the Dragon's Lair, if you will. What are the differences between fighting crime in Hoover, which is a suburban area, and Birmingham, urban streets, where you've got neighborhood running into neighborhood?
Well, I tell you what, the comparing the two is really comparing grapes to watermelons.
Really?
I started my policing career with the Montgomery Police Department, so police there for 3.5 years, and then went to Hoover for almost 20. And then now with the Birmingham PD, so it's like coming home after growing up in Birmingham. The challenges are so different. Hoover being a smaller suburban community, which has grown, it doesn't even compare to a large urban city like Birmingham. The homicide issue here in the city of Birmingham is unlike anything Hoover has seen over the last 30, 40 years since the city has been incorporated. You know, Hoover has 3 to 4 homicides a year. I'm happy when we can have 3 to 4 in just a month and getting those numbers down. The support, the resources is one of the biggest challenges I've seen. The Hoover Police Department was a very well-resourced department. So was Montgomery. I haven't found that with the Birmingham Police Department. And so when I look at our fleet, when I look at the condition of the facilities, when I look at officers' equipment and the lack of technology, good intentions can only take you so far. When that citizen calls 911, we need a police car to get the officer there safely. And so there are so many resources that we're lacking that it's going to take us time and money to really give this department the equipment it needs to be successful.
It is no secret that other metropolitan police forces have higher paid personnel. You mentioned the problem with resources. Birmingham officers consistently rank among the lowest paid compared to, say, Hoover and Mountain Brook and other areas. So let's face it, the challenges there aren't as great as they are in Birmingham, right? Higher crime, more challenges, less pay. How do you keep good cops in the force with higher paying positions just a short drive away?
Well, that's one of the challenges that we're having to address, and to be truthful with you, one that hadn't been addressed adequately in the past. We're fortunate that the council approved the pay raises that were actually approved under the previous mayoral administration.
There's a lot of contention, a lot of bickering back and forth about that.
Yes, so now it's passed, and our pay has, our starting salaries are much more in line now with the general area. But no doubt about it, an officer can drive over the mountain somewhere. get a pay raise and do less work and work in much safer conditions. So that's hard to battle. But what we're trying to do is establish the foundations for success. And by that, re-energize the department, because money isn't everything. It has a lot to do with it. There are some things we bring to the table that gives Birmingham a competitive compensation package. We have 20-year retirement where the Hoovers and Homewoods and Mountain Brooks are all on state retirement with 25-year retirement. So you can start policing with Birmingham at age 21 and at 41 walk out the door with a full pension package the rest of your life, which is also a challenge because you're still young, and I would really like you to stay and share that experience with our younger officers. Also, things with our health insurance and all of that, because we have more employees, gives us a better benefit package. But the issue is also we're looking for officers who want to make a difference. Now, if you really want to make a difference, this is the place to be. And we have officers now that are more excited. We have officers saying things like, "Thank you, Chief. I feel like I can police again." And I told them on my swearing-in day during the ceremony, I said, we have people standing on the corner selling drugs like they have a business license. It's time to shut them down, and that's what we plan on doing. Well, that's not overnight, but officers do feel like they have a green light now to get busy, and we're holding them accountable for doing that.
And you were watching this from Hoover for so many years, right? What were you thinking? Was that ever sort of, did that ever pop into your mind, you know, well, I could go to Birmingham, but there's not enough money over there?
Well, you know, I've never lost my roots to Birmingham. Even when I was policing in Montgomery, my wife was still living here and we were driving back and forth and all of that. And I worked in Hoover for 15 years before I moved over there. And so my church was still in Birmingham, still is, my barber, my family. So I've always felt a connection to the city. But while I was working in Hoover, occasionally we'd talk about Birmingham during our Monday morning staff meetings. You know, sometimes you'd have those weekends where there were just so many shootings. And because I understood and would be a champion for Birmingham in the fact that we need Birmingham to do well. And if Birmingham sinks, Hoover sinks, Homewood sinks, because Birmingham is the job market. You know, rush hour traffic comes to Birmingham in the morning. And so at the time, I never thought I'd be chief here because I was committed to doing the best I could over in Hoover. And so when the opportunity presented itself, and with a lot of prayer, because it is a huge challenge when you talk about trying to get Birmingham out of the top 10, and for being one of the most violent cities in the nation, that's not something you really want to continue, because there's children and families counting on us. So here we are now, and we're trying our best to implement the things I think we can do to be successful.
Chief Roper, thank you.
Thanks for having us.